Amen. Please be seated. If you have your Bible, I invite you to join me in Isaiah chapter 9. We're looking once again at verses 1 through 7 today as we continue on in our Advent series. Last Sunday, we talked about the promise of God's presence with His people, and we talked about the fact that it's something that helps us to look back into the past, to Jesus' first coming some 2,000 years ago. It helps us to focus on the present because Jesus is here now inside of us through the wonder and power of the Holy Spirit. And it also causes us to look into the future and to long together for Christ's return when He brings His kingdom to earth. We talked as well about something called the prophetic perfect last week, a wonderful tool that many of the prophets use in the Old Testament where they teach us that we can hear the promises of God and know and trust that they are as good as done, even while we wait for them to come to pass. But what would this long-awaited Messiah be like? Isaiah, in chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, provided four names to reveal some of who He was to us. And across the next four times that we have together, we're going to be looking at those four names leading all the way up to Christmas Eve, starting this morning with Wonderful Counselor. I'll begin reading in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, He will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before You as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, You have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders. And He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of His government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Please pray with me. Lord God, we give You thanks for our chance to be gathered together as a family today. We give You thanks for Your invitation to us to come into Your presence and to offer ourselves in worship. We give You thanks for this Advent season, which helps us to see the immense truth and power of Your incarnation contained within these songs and within these scriptural readings. And we celebrate Your arrival. We give You thanks as well for the prophetic writings that pointed to that arrival, including the writings of Isaiah. In these next few minutes, as we gaze into this text, I pray, God, that You would give each of us eyes to see just what You want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever You choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what's in a name? Names are significant. We choose the names of our children very carefully because those names have meaning and significance. Names were especially significant in Isaiah's world. They would designate the essence of a person. They would indicate that person's worthiness and that person's character. So we should sit up and take notice when we see that Isaiah offers not one, but four names for our arriving Savior. The first of those names, Wonderful Counselor, is our focus today. And in Hebrew, Wonderful Counselor is Pele Yoes. Pele Yoes. It means Wonderful Counselor. But really, there's a comma between those two words in Hebrew. So it would say, a wonder, a counselor, if you did it literally. But most translators say it means a wonder of a counselor. A wonder of a counselor. That first word, Pele, means wonder. A miracle, a marvel. something astonishing, something extraordinary, something even incomprehensible. This is a word that's used almost exclusively in Scripture to describe God. And then Yoes. Yoes means one who advises or guides, plans, coaches, executes, or consults. We'll need to remove from our minds the idea of a therapist who might sit on the couch passively asking us what we're feeling. That's what some of us have in mind when we talk about a counselor, because up until about 100 years ago, counselors weren't therapists. They were strategists and coaches. They were brought in by leaders as strategic consultants to talk about war or politics or new business ventures. That's the sense of this counselor we've been given in Jesus. This Jesus, our wonderful counselor, is a sympathetic listener, but he is so much more. He is an extraordinary strategist who is more than competent to guide every step of our lives. Jesus literally is the counsel of God incarnate. And we need to look no further than the Gospels to see ample evidence of that wonderful counselor at work. Isaiah, even all these years before the arrival of Jesus, knew that this was the way Jesus would operate in the world. Isaiah says in chapter 11, verse 2, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord." We see that Spirit at work throughout Jesus' earthly ministry. You could say it was the entirety of it. He offered his guidance to everyone he encountered. He willingly shared his wisdom with any who would listen. And his strategic, soul-inspiring counsel was astonishing. It was extraordinary. It was a wonder. We might even say it was heaven sent. This is who God has been for eternity. It's who Jesus was in his incarnation. And it's who the Holy Spirit is inside of us today. So if we can embrace the idea that Jesus is this wonderful counselor, and we can recognize that today as we walk around, as we live and breathe in this world, we have the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus inside of us, we might come to the point where we ask the question, how is the Spirit counseling me? That's the question that we might ask coming up against this text today. How is the Spirit counseling me? Am I taking advantage of this great strategist, of this coach who lives inside of me, or I'm simply acknowledging his arrival at Advent and moving on with my life? The Spirit is our wonderful counselor. What kind of strategic counsel is he offering us today? Maybe we ask the question, have I even sought that counsel? Have I asked God about these aspects of my life, about my friendships, about family, about workplace, about my marriage, about my children, about my parents, about whether or not to make that move, or whether or not to invest in this, or how much I should give, or what career path I should follow? Have we taken advantage of our wonderful counselor? I remember as a kid that my mom and dad had lots of counsel for me. Lots of counsel. And as I look back on my childhood, I was worthy of that counsel. They needed to pull me aside and give me their wisdom in order for me to develop into a better person than I was on track to become. But I remember distinctly as a child thinking, Mom and Dad think they know everything. I mean, they would sit down and pontificate about this and that. And as a child, of course, I knew that I knew more than them. And so I only took some of their advice to heart and applied it. But then later on, I became a parent. And my children were looking at me the exact same way while I was offering them my great wisdom. They were blowing me off. They were rolling their eyes. They just didn't understand how Dad or Mom could know more than them about these different things. And perhaps that's just a rite of passage when it comes to parenting and having your own kids as well. But when I thought about that this week and I thought about our wonderful counselor, I wonder how often we play the teenager when it comes to God. God's Word and the movement of God's Spirit within us has so much wisdom and strategy and coaching to offer to us. But if I'm honest, sometimes I'm the one rolling my eyes. I'm the one thinking, oh, that counsel, it's antiquated. oh, that doesn't have anything to do with 2024. I just don't see how this could apply here, especially when it's the difficult things I'm being asked to do in Scripture. And it got me thinking that if we're really going to celebrate this wonderful counselor who resides within us, the gift of God incarnate, we really need to analyze how we are receiving that counsel, what our hearts are like, how open we are. We really are invited in the Advent season to pause and to contemplate in a fresh new way all of the wisdom and the strategy and the power that we have in our God. And then asking ourselves, am I seeking after that counsel? Am I following after the wisdom that's been given to me? Your wonderful counselor is ready and waiting for you to ask. But it's not just about asking. It's also important that we follow through on his counsel. Remember Isaiah 11, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord is what's mentioned in association with the counsel that comes from God. And that fear of the Lord phrase, we get a little nervous around it, right? We focus on the word fear and we think, well, I'm not really interested in that kind of relationship with my God. The fear of the Lord is actually what's called a bound phrase in Hebrew. And what it means is it just means one thing, that phrase. You don't pick it apart for the words. Fear of the Lord is actually something really beautiful. It's not a cowering fear, but it's used to describe intimacy, honor, trust, and respect. Exactly the way we should view the gift of the wonderful counselor in our lives. And so when we seek that counsel, the fear of the Lord within us is a devotion that leads us to follow that counsel, that leads us toward obedience, joyful obedience, because we trust that that counsel will lead us to exactly where God wants us to be. How is the Spirit counseling you? I hope in this Advent season, each of us is being coached in a beautiful way. Each of us is being guided into new places of intimacy with God, of bold living for God's purposes in this world, of radical loving for one another, all branching from the wonderful counsel that each of us has available to us. Jesus truly is a wonder of a counselor. May we in this Advent season know enough to ask and trust enough to follow. Let me pray for us. Lord God, there is so much in this world that we don't understand. So many circumstances, even in our own personal lives, that we don't quite know what to do with or how to live with. And we have pride in our human condition that sometimes makes us want to do it all on our own, that sometimes causes us to roll our eyes at counsel that seems like it doesn't really fit our lives. And yet we are promised by Scripture, we are reassured by your Spirit within us that you offer us counsel that is exactly what we need, leading us exactly where we need to go, and helping us to live the lives we were made to live. Help us in this Advent season to pause long enough to truly consider the wonder of a counselor that you are. And what it looks like in our lives to seek that counsel, to follow that counsel, and become a blessing in this world as a result. We commit ourselves to doing just that. And I pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.